Today on Real Life Radio.
And if wealth could buy happiness and contentment and power, then Hollywood. That was a Freudian slip. Hollywood and Wall Street would be the happiest, most content places on earth. But they're not, are they?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you miss a few episodes in this series, you can always catch up at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled, How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2. We're in chapter 4 with verses 10 through 13. Now, in these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us what true spiritual richness is and how it can't be lost or taken away. You see, Christians have received an inheritance from God, a spiritual richness that we need to invest wisely. The irritations and pressures of life can get in the way, but if we stay the course, it'll develop our faith and keep us on the right path. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in times of wealth and ease, there's a great danger that comes with it. Our contentment should not be in earthly riches. Our treasure is in living a life for God all the time, whether we're in plenty or in want. Now, with his message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Look at verse 12 continues. How to get rich quick is to invest in that which cannot be taken away from you. And we see that we have that which can never be lost in verse 12. Everywhere, listen to this, everywhere and in all things. Wow. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to be abound and to suffer need. Real Christianity, real ministry, real life is a real Jesus ministry that's all about other people. Paul is saying, I'm going to serve other people and God will take care of me. It's a tremendous thing. See, Jack, can we really believe God and trust God to do that? Yeah, because first of all, the word full here means, Paul says, I know how to gorge myself. I know how to sit at a potluck and eat until I'm about ready to pop. And I know how to be hungry. The word means to actually, listen, the word means to pinch, to scrape or sift. It means to pick the bone. Think of that for a moment. We, in America, we throw more food away that's still on the bone. Have you ever been to countries where the country, it's a poor country? They, after they've done eating everything off the bone, they boil the bones and then they drink the water, which is, by the way, very healthy for you. They waste nothing. The acts of God in these situations on both ends of the pendulum are always good. I just find it awesome how Jesus dealt with these things at times, you know, when there were needs. When the masses were hungry, Jesus fed them. Fed them fish and bread. When the disciples were hungry, he told them to go buy food, which I thought was interesting. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, he just had manna come down from heaven. What does that tell you? It means God will use anything and everything. And we're to realize that what God gives us can never be lost. It can't be lost. Amen. We have that which can never be lost. Listen to what Jim Elliot, you remember the missionary Jim Elliot, who was killed by the very missionaries he was reaching? Listen to this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Look at that. What a great statement. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Give the life away that Christ gives you. What did Jesus say about that? He'll give you a new life. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life, live for yourself, protect yourself, be a protectionist, all about you, will lose it. Your life wasn't designed for you to protect it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus isn't saying go out and commit suicide. He's saying go live your life for the recognition, glory, honor, and for the will of God. And in doing that, you'll find the real true meaning as to why you were created. In Matthew 6, verse 19, this is the New Living Translation, says, don't store up treasures on earth. We're experts at this. We even build storage unit areas where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot steal, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Isn't that powerful? Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be in that place. So listen, where's your treasure? Where's your passion? Where's your desire? I need to bring something up because I've tried to avoid this several times and it just keeps popping up. And so if this fits, hang on to this. As far as I know, no one's published any works on this. I'd be open to read anything that's out there, but I'm really curious about something. When we talk about, as believers, not being protective of our lives and living recklessly for the glory of God, and we would say it this way, that whatever you and I own belongs to God anyway, right? Are you aware of the fact that God, in the Christian's life, God has no problem in merging two economies? Let me explain. There's the economy of this world. Jesus even said in another place, you need to take a lesson away from the unbelieving world. He said they're very smart on how they use their money. He says the children of the kingdom are half as bright on that. Did you know that? Jesus said that. In other words, the world knows what it's doing with money. Because why? Because that's their God. But they're not stupid. They've developed some really smart things to do. Jesus says, you ought to take a cue from them. Why? So I can get rich? No. So you can learn how to manage and steward money right for the glory of God. You look at Franklin Graham. Obviously, his dad was Billy Graham. And I'm so blessed by Franklin because, yes, he can give the gospel, but you want him to preach like his father. Well, if Jesus wanted Franklin to preach like Billy Graham, his father, then he would be preaching like Billy Graham, his father. But he's not. Do you know what he does? His passion is, let's go help people. The more hurt they are and the more dangerous part that they are, that's where we're going. And right now, he's building a multi-million dollar hospital up in northern Iraq to reach people who are being absolutely ravaged by ISIS. And there are people giving him money to do that. Listen, if you're only caught up in the one economy of the world, you're saying things like this, what a dope. Northern Iraq? Oh, no, you know what? He should be investing right now in Costa Rica. That's where real estate's really rising. Americans are leaving the U.S. and buying property in Costa Rica. Is that a tip, Pastor, to go and invest? It's a setup for you. Think for a moment. What's coming to the world is coming to the entire world. In Costa Rica ain't going to save you, okay? But you know what Franklin Graham's doing? He's laying up for himself and all those who invest in what's going on, treasures in heaven. Big difference. I think that's amazing. So here's the thing. Did you know the data in church life in America? Most everything is paid for. Everything from hospitals being built in northern Iraq to feeding the homeless down the street. Almost all of it is paid for people who are 50 years of age and over. It's funny. A generation of people got all excited about doing a young millennial church, and they didn't say we didn't want old people, but it was totally geared to young people, totally geared to millennials, and they found out, holy cow, if old people don't support this ministry, we're going to go broke. we can't even turn on the lights because none of these young people will part with their money because they're too much into their iPhones and their Starbucks and their own life. They won't give their money away. They're loving it. They're hoarding it. Millennials won't support anything. And that's a heartbreak. You know why? They're not sending anything up to heaven ahead of them. And they've got all these really fancy excuses as to why they don't get involved. They criticize and attack churches. Well, you know what? And they sit back and count their money. Their bank accounts grow. And they think they're doing a good thing. And they're saving their lives. And Jesus says, you're losing it. They've got all the savvy arguments. And none of them fly in the face of God. Did you know that giving helps people when they give to stay connected with the needy? Did you know that giving helps our hearts to always be in the right place? In God's economy where there's material giving and spiritual giving, did you know he merges those two kingdoms so that you and I can be connected as a fellowship one with another? Did you know that together we minister to one another? Did you know that this happens by spreading the word of God around the world and down the street? Did you know that we're committed to works all over the world if we do this? Did you know that by giving both from these economies, you and I are acting out in worship? If you have a hard time parting with something, chances are it owns you and you do not manage it. And I know how that is. The first time I was in a church, they passed the plate. That was my first date with my wife on a Sunday. She wasn't my wife yet. She was born and raised Baptist. She was tithing since she was like 2 months old. I'd just gotten saved a year and a half earlier, and I'm looking at the church I'm sitting in, and obviously they have no need. That was my observation. And the plate came by, and she just watched me. You got to remember now, I'm thinking, I want to marry this woman, so I want to impress her. I was so stupid. The plate went by, and just, here you go. And she just goes, hey, what did you just do? I go, what? She goes, what did you just do? I go, nothing. I just passed the plate over there. She goes, well, that's what I'm talking about. She goes, you didn't give the Lord anything. I said, the Lord? Look at this place. She didn't say it, but it was like, if you don't get your priorities straight, I'll have nothing to do with you. Wow, man, I was so busted. But I got to tell you, I didn't want to part with it. Because one economy, if you just focus on one economy, it can be your security. You know, when 2008 happened, people jumped out of windows in Wall Street. Did you know that? And some people accepted the Lord. What are you going to do? Third, we end with this. Verse 13, how to get rich quick is to rest in what the Lord has appointed for you. Will you please write this down? How do you get rich quick? Rest in what the Lord has appointed you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number one, confidence. Wealth in him means confidence. Are you rich towards Christ? Is he big in your life? I can do all things. Technically, the Greek is not through Christ, believe it or not. Look at your Bible carefully. Pull out a pen. I can do all things. And in the margin, write in Christ or of Christ. That's the true meaning of the word. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Remember I said last week, if you grabbed a golf club and you're going to impress your friends and you say, oh, God, help me now to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, cause me to hit a hole in one, it ain't going to work. Because that's not what the verse is for. It's not a rabbit's foot verse. The verse means I can do all things in or of. How about this? I can do all things in or of or regarding what Christ has asked me to do. I can do it. Yeah. Write it down. That's what it means. Whatever Jesus Christ has asked of me to do, I can do it through his strength.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Imagine for a moment, church, we get in an airplane, we're flying over enemy territory, and we're going to jump out of the plane. was watching a friend of mine 2 weeks ago do that very thing out over Iraq. There are about six of them. He's going to go out onto the ground. He's being deployed. Him and his buddies run out of the back of an airplane. And he sent me the video. And I could hardly see his body because he's got so much stuff on him. He's got a big thing in front of him. He's got a big thing behind him. And they just... And when they hit the ground and all that stuff and all the stuff they need, boom, blah, you know, they are deployed to fight. Deployed to win. Everything the United States government can give these operators is needed, and they're wearing it. Satellites overhead leading them, guiding them. For every one of them, there's a thousand or more people managing one guy around the world. Think of it. Would God deploy you, the Christian, into this world with any less support? Think of it. You're going to leave now. You're going to go out into this world. You are completely ready. You should be confident because of this. You can do anything, everything, whatever it is, that thing is that Jesus Christ has told you to do, you can do it because, number one, his orders are his, given to you. He doesn't send you somewhere you can't do it. He will give you the supernatural gifts, the opportunities. He will provide everything you need. That's why the Bible says you'll never see God's people begging bread. Why? Because it's an insult to God. When you're deployed, I don't care how young or how old you are about to be deployed. And every opportunity, that situation comes up, don't be so quick and distracted you miss it. Understand this. You can be confident because whatever comes up to glorify God, I know this. I can do it because Jesus Christ has brought it to me. It's going to be done by his power. And at the end of the day, I'm going to know he's the one that did it. I will be reduced or humbled more. He will be exalted greater. In giving up my life, I find it. And I'm walking. I'm actually following Jesus. You'll be so excited you won't be able to sleep at night. God, thank you. You'll be so pumped up, just like Deuteronomy 6 talked about. Confident. C.S. Lewis said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny or extraordinary destiny. Confidence. Your wealth in Christ is confidence. The second thing is this, verse 13. Wealth in him brings influence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For what reason? Influence. The Lord will give you that which you can't buy. And if wealth could buy happiness and contentment and power, then Hollywood. That was a Freudian slip. Hollywood. Never heard of that before. Hollywood and Wall Street would be the happiest, most content places on earth. But they're not, are they? So Paul says, regarding influence, would you sign up for this? Watch, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. And I'm asking you something that I've been asking myself all week. And I've come to this answer. Yes, but Lord, be gentle. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, sicknesses, weaknesses, physical disorders, in reproaches, rejection, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, because I'm a loudmouth brat? Because I'm an obnoxious person? No, for Christ's sake. Because I've just been doing what Jesus told me to do. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Don't you love that? I'm so weak, Pastor. Are you walking with God? Yes. Then stand up straight and wipe your nose. You're strong. The Lord's power will be with you. And then finally, we end right here. Look at verse 13. Speaks about power. Confidence, influence, and power. Christian, this is your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Results in power. That's awesome. So what do you mean? We end with this. So the disciples are traveling with Jesus. They're so excited. Everything's amazing. And they say to him, okay, will you now establish the kingdom? Jesus, we're so happy you're back from the dead. This is awesome. Will you now establish the kingdom? Because we're ready. We would all have said the same thing in the book of Acts, chapter 1. We would have said it too, every one of us. Woo-hoo! We thought we lost you there for a weekend. It's great to have you back. Now let's get this kingdom thing on. Let's go. Remember James and John, their mom? She was on it. Jesus, can I talk to you for a minute? Can you imagine? Jesus, I need to speak to you. Yes, what is it? My boys, look at them. They're just the cutest. See, when you sit on your throne in glory, this is such a mom, and a Jewish mom at that. You had to hear it. You just had to hear this. Jesus, I want to talk to you. My boy, my son, the doctor. My son, the fisherman. When you sit on your throne, you know, in your glory, I tell you what, it'd be a good thing. One of my boys on your one side and one of my boys on your other side. I was thinking, this is a good thing. That's such a mom. They're thinking kingdom, yeah. And Jesus says, I tell you what, everybody. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to go wait in Jerusalem. I'm leaving. You go wait in Jerusalem. And to prove to you guys that I've arrived up there in heaven, I'm going to ask my Father to send the Holy Spirit to you. So I'll see you later. And he starts to leave. I don't know. Can you imagine going in their mind? Is this a joke? Can somebody grab him? What's the deal? Peter, you have a string on this? What's happening? And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell. Why? Because Jesus said, when I leave and the Spirit comes, you will receive power. Whoa, great. What are we going to do? You will be witnesses of mine. First in Jerusalem. That's your street, your neighborhood where you live. Then Judea. Okay, that's your city. And Samaria, further out, is your county. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing until he comes back. If you pursue doing this, you may or may not make millions of dollars. You may or may not be healthy. You may or may not fill in the blanks. It won't matter because you will receive whatever is happening in your life from the Lord. Because he will waste nothing on you. Because he's preparing you for an eternal glory. And so you leave this building today, and this, I tell you what, every demon in hell should tremble in about 3 minutes because you're getting released. The prison doors of this sanctuary are opening up, and this building's going to burp you out. And I want the kingdom of hell to be shuddering. That these lambs, little lambs, like you're jumping out of the back of an airplane, armed to the teeth. You're just little lambs, but you are loaded with the armament of God to do his will. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you for your truth. We ask you now for your power. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd baptize afresh this congregation, this first service, with your power like they've never seen before. May they get up and get out of this building on fire for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2. Thanks for listening to this message today. You know, it is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from Paul who surrendered his life for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? When you just can't take it anymore, does that sound familiar? Well, my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.